Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. This podcast is brought to you by Maranatha Chapel. Senior Pastor Ray Bentley's latest book, The Holy Land Key, is an examination of prophecy that goes beyond the clock on the wall and any speculative timelines. You're going to meet the Old Testament prophets and what they actually saw in the future and learn the historical context of prophecy and then experience the journey of suffering and triumph lived by God's people over the centuries. You will read the true history of Israel and the church. Learn how the biblical ordained feasts celebrated by the Jewish people prophesy the first and second comings of the Messiah. You're also going to read the untold story of Christopher Columbus. Was he Jewish? Was he expelled from Spain because he was? You'll learn how Martin Luther's resentment spelled doom for European Jews. And learn how the blood moon's eclipse pertain to our world events even today. Learn how you can join and step into the story of prophecy and God's chosen people and experience being part of God's plan for the human race. Visit their website, theholylandkey.com. Once again, that's theholylandkey.com. And thank you to Maranatha Chapel for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome back to the Strang Report. This is Steve Green in the Charisma Podcast Network studios with Steve Strang and his report. We're going to be talking today in celebration of our 40th anniversary. We're going to be talking with the founder and CEO of this great magazine and specifically asking the question that he is most qualified to answer, and that is the role of publishing in the charismatic movement. So in one line, what has it been? What have you done as a publisher to document the charismatic movement?
Well, I would use the word journalism instead of publishing for what you described. There is a whole publishing industry. It was something I didn't really know when I came into this. You know, I was trained as a secular journalist in newspapering, which is very different. Within Christian circles, there really are no Christian newspapers. It's always been magazines. So the magazines, whether it was Christian Life back in the day or Christianity Today, there were several magazines that kind of documented what was going on. And I remember that early somebody asked me, why do we need another magazine? And they ticked off several magazines that were very prominent. And, you know, as a 20-something, I was actually intimidated by the question, and it kind of bothered me because I didn't have an answer. And I finally concluded after thinking and probably praying about it that we did it because that was what I felt I could do to serve the Lord. As time has passed, we've been faithful, and you know, several of those other magazines have just gone by the wayside, kind of the normal ebb and flow of business and journalism. They came and went. In fact, we absorbed two of the ones that I remember. One was Logos Journal, which was very prominent back in the day. Jamie Buckingham was affiliated with that. And then the other one was Christian Life, which, you know, for years we called our magazine Charisma and Christian Life.
Steve, we're talking specifically about your work with Charisma Magazine over the last 40 years. So the question I'd like to ask you is, what is your favorite article or the favorite story that comes to mind first and as you reflect?
Last night I had occasion to sit next to, at a convention, John Ashcroft, who over the years was governor of Missouri, and I actually flew to Jefferson City, the only time I've ever been there. You land right next to the cornfields, literally, and interviewed him as a sitting governor of Missouri. And then later he became U.S. Senator and served with distinction. And I actually did a video interview with him on TBN back in that era.
Attorney General.
And then subsequent to that, he was Attorney General. And I also had the occasion to interact with him in that way. Now he's retired and working at Regent University. So I had a chance to visit with him and after the service was over. And he told somebody I was the editor of Charisma, and I thought, you know what, I am not going to contradict the attorney general. Tell him I haven't been the editor of Charisma for years. But that
he had a good run for president as well.
And you know, I mentioned that to him, and I literally interviewed him. He was not a candidate for very long.
Too conservative.
Well, America. It was hard for him to raise money.
Sure.
And he said that his fundraiser, in fact, he we talked for quite a while, and he was telling me all this kind of inside baseball stuff that I found fascinating. And
I knew his family from Springfield, obviously being the home of the AG. I went to church with him and his brother.
Well, I don't know his brother, but I knew his father, who was president at Evangel, and actually was a mentor for my father, if you can, in the sense that a college professor would be a mentor for a young man.
Sure.
And my dad used to tell me that his dad used to use John Ashcroft and his brother, as they were both teenagers at the time, as sort of examples for some point he was making in class. So, I mean, I kind of grew up hearing about John Ashcroft, and then, you know, we heard that this Assemblies of God guy was kind of rising up in politics in the state of Missouri, which is where he's from, and I just sort of followed his career even before I had an opportunity to meet him. But I think he's a great man. I think he did a great job as Attorney General. And I mentioned to him, I said, I sure wish you'd been president. I don't think we'd be in the mess we're in right now. And that, boy, that just launched him off. That was another half hour for me to hear all the stuff that he was.
Can you imagine what he's seen and heard in his reign in D.C.? He was a great Attorney General.
He really was.
Well, let's talk about the article. Now that you've stalled sufficiently to think about it, what is the greatest article that, the one that comes to mind when you get asked this kind of question?
Well, in the last couple of weeks, I've had occasion to go back through some of our early issues. I hadn't done that in a while. And to reread the story that I did on Catherine Coleman, for example, which got the most, we republished it and got one of the highest readerships online.
Yes, sir.
And it was one of the last articles, it may have been the last article written about her in any kind of media, of course.
She's been on your covers.
She was on the cover of the second issue, and that was in the October-November issue, and she died the following February. And I asked her in the interview, I actually interviewed her for the Orlando Sentinel. They sent me over. I worked for the Sentinel at the time, and I rewrote it for kind of a Christian audience. And I asked her who would carry on her ministry after she died. And she let me know very quickly that Jesus was going to come and there was no successor. And I did not put that in the article. I guess I didn't think it was germane. But I have talked to Benny Hinn about it, because Benny, of course, kind of considers it in some way, you know, he kind of carried on her mantle. But he never met her. He was in her services, but he never met her. I interviewed her, and that was one of the most interesting interviews. But, you know, I mentioned interviewing John Ashcroft. James Watt, who is the Secretary of the Interior, was very interesting. I just reread two articles that I did with Kenneth Copeland. I actually flew to Fort Worth, and he was having a meeting in Florida, and I interviewed him. He had kind of a small ministry plane, as I recall. I know some preachers have kind of gotten in trouble PR-wise for having these, you know, big jets, but I remember talking about it. He told me it was a whole lot less expensive to fly his staff that he needed for these crusades in a private plane like that than it was to go commercial. And it also spared them all the hassle of having to carry all the equipment through airports and, you know, everything you have to do to wait on planes and everything else. I commented on it. I went to the Philippines with his ministry and wrote about the experience, and it was a very interesting trip and a very difficult story to write, because there was all this kind of bravado about how many people would be reached and all that, and the numbers didn't kind of match up. And my story kind of reflected on this and what did it mean. And I think that he planted some seeds there, and there's been a great revival in the Philippines since then. And I think even his own ministry has really grown. And it was his first time outside the United States. And he was very Texan in an Asian environment. I mean, it was just an interesting story, even for me to read. Now, as time passed, I did less and less writing, and I became more and more of an executive as we became more of a media company. And I got more into just writing a column. But I have been able to interview three U.S. presidents. I had breakfast with President Bush 41 in the White House on the National Day of Prayer. I had a sit-down interview with George W. Bush, and I interviewed Barack Obama before he was president with a group of other Christian leaders, and I was the only one that asked any tough questions. So obviously, I've not been invited back. All of those, of course, I wrote about those things, and all of that was interesting to me. And frankly, when I get back in that mode, it's, you know, the journalistic juices flow again.
Well, before we end this podcast, because we're out of time, I know that even though it's more recent, and I want to remind all of our listeners to stay with us, and how would someone find us and to get these stories about the 40-year anniversary, all the stories that you're posting now, how would you recommend people find these stories?
We're doing it on charismamag.com. You can also type in charismamagazine.com, and it'll go there. And we're taking over the site for the entire month of August, using the material that's in our August anniversary issue.
Right. But Facebook?
That's right. We're putting it on Facebook everywhere, and we're republishing articles from the past, you know, even an article by Billy Graham, one by Oral Roberts. I was amazed at some of the early articles we had. We had some really good stuff, even when the magazine was kind of in its formative years. And, you know, that's probably what it took for a magazine to survive, because back in that era, we were published at a church. We were very small. We had a lot of things going against us, but by God's grace, we've survived.
40 years.
40 years.
Sounds like a desert experience to me.
Now we can go into the promised land.
Yes. You've been listening to the Strang Report. If you want to hear more stories about Steve's reflection on the anniversary of his magazine of 40 years, please stay tuned to other Strang Reports. He's going to be sharing a lot with you over the next few weeks, and I really encourage you to come back and listen often. This is Steve Green with the CEO and obviously the founder of Charisma Magazine. What an honor and a treat it is to be with you always for the Strang Report.
Thank you.
God bless you all, and please come back and listen to us again next week. God bless you. This podcast is brought to you by Maranatha Chapel. Learn how you can join and step into the story of prophecy and God's chosen people and experience being part of God's plan for the human race. You can visit www.theholylandkey.com. Again, www.theholylandkey.com. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.